welcome to Dropping Dimes, your 2 cents of basketball. My name is Rodrigo, but you can call me Rod. And sitting across me is my friend, the other P in this pod, the person that has to yet pay his bet, and co-host of this show, Rafael. How are you doing, man?
I'm good. We'll see about that bet. I'm not sure if we made it official or not. We have to discuss that. But I'm looking forward for today's episode. And I'm looking at the agenda, and I can see that you're planning to talk about the Lakers again. Surprise, surprise.
Of course, this is our third show in a row. Pretty proud of that. Mm-hmm. Third time talking about the Lakers. I think that's what the people want. That's what we should give them.
No, I'm not sure if that's what the people want. Okay, to our listeners, I want to apologize. I promise I will be more involved during the week with preparing the agenda so that we don't end up with an agenda that's so biased.
That's what you get.
That it's so biased.
If you don't contribute to the agenda, we're going to end up talking about the Lakers.
Yeah.
Before we keep on going, I just want to give a quick shout out to everyone that has downloaded and listened to our show. We have a small but loyal fan base already. Thanks everyone for the words of encouragement, for the shout outs. We cannot thank you enough for all the support. Keep letting us know what you guys think. Hit us up online on our website, www.dropping-dimes.com. On Instagram, at dropping.dimes. On Twitter, at dropping_dimes1. Or facebook.com, dropping.dimes. We want to hear from you. What should we talk about? Let us know if you want to know about a little bit more about us. I don't know why they would want that, but if that's what they want, we got to give them what they want.
And again, thanks a lot for your support. And I'm pretty sure you guys know who you are because there's only like 5 of you. So
yeah,
you know who you are.
Shout out to Lars, Blake, and Anthony. Why not? Let's give a shout out to Anthony.
Yes. We actually going to mention names. We're going to give shout outs just to make sure if you guys are downloading the podcast or not. So that's going to be our way of checking. We're going to start inserting
like
things about
call.
You.
Yeah.
Like about your things that we know that you guys wouldn't like us to talk about.
No.
Just to make sure you're listening to
it. No, we won't do that. But no promises. Anyways, we got an exciting show. I was a little bit worried, honestly, when I was preparing the agenda and thinking about the show during the week. Because for me, it promised to be sort of a boring week. A regular week for the summertime. But then, watch bomb. We're going to talk about the trade of the week. Potentially the trade of the entire offseason.
Okay. I thought it was a... I thought you're talking about Michael Beasley to the Lakers?
Not yet. No,
okay,
we'll
okay.
get there.
Okay.
We will talk about Michael Beasley to the Lakers and what that means. But we're going to talk about the obviously Kawhi Leonard and DeMar DeRozan trade.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. Did you hear about that?
Okay.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Because it was all over the place. Yeah. We're also going to talk about Carmelo Anthony and a little bit about the WNBA. And we'll see what else we come up with. Why don't we start with Carmelo? Let's start off with Carmelo Anthony. So Carmelo Anthony, last season he played for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Not the greatest season.
Did he?
He sort of played with the Oklahoma City Thunder. He was asked to come off the bench. He obviously refused. He thinks he set his prime. The numbers and what we see on our TV obviously tells a different story. But anyways, he opted into his contract. It was a player option. So I think he's getting paid around $27 million per year, or per season, I should say. But this week, it was a three-team trade that sent Carmelo Anthony to the Hawks. The Thunder received Dennis Schroeder, the German point guard, who I think is a good addition to the Oklahoma City Thunder. We'll see how that pans out. I don't think it's going to have a big effect on the Thunder, but Carmelo going to the Hawks, who will potentially be waived, and then
end up with the Rockets.
That's what it's being speculated.
Yeah.
It's between the Rockets or the Heat, the Miami Heat.
Yeah, but, you know, there's only one thing that I must acknowledge about Carmelo Anthony.
Go ahead.
He's a great businessman. He's the best player negotiating his contracts because he's always a disappointment, but he ends up making a lot of money. And he's always on top of the negotiations. He's always the one making money out of all the disappointments that he generated in
OKC. No, he was not always a disappointment. Not always, no.
Well, his rookie season, maybe he was not
In Denver, he was really good.
for a while. But then after he was traded to the Knicks.
But that was, he was unhappy with the organization. He was unhappy with the coach, with George Karl.
We talked about this during the first episode. Or did we?
Yeah, I think we did, right?
Yeah. He's one of these couple, we have like a couple of cases that we can think of, but I'm sure that if we start researching, we're going to remember other cases as well. But he's one clear example of a player that it's not passionate about basketball
anymore. That's the problem. I don't know at what point in New York he just lost his drive. He's no longer interested. And you could see that with the Thunder. He was barely trying. Carmelo Anthony, I don't know how many times he's been the scorer of the year. But I don't know. There was nothing this year. Nothing. Absolutely nothing from him.
And to be honest, if you're a GM and you're sitting across the table with a guy that from day one, when he starts negotiating his contract with you, he wants to put a no-trade clause. The fact that he wants to add that, it should ring your alarms, right?
Because it's Carmelo, depends. But if it's another player, then maybe you consider that.
He's done that in New York. And when he tried that with
New York... That made sense at the time. That made sense, though.
I mean, it's weird, but it makes sense because he had a big reputation at the time. And we all saw him as a star at the time.
Yeah.
But this second time with OKC, I don't understand how they were so stupid to accept a no-trade clause. Because we already knew that it was not the same Carmelo Anthony.
I think we all expected him to maybe catch his second breath and go from there. I don't know. It was a big disappointment. It's a little bit obvious that the Hawks are going to waive him. And okay, how do you feel if you're the Rockets, the Houston Rockets general manager? Are you excited?
No.
I mean, it's obvious, sort of obvious that he's going to go to the Rockets at this point. James Harden went out publicly and said that he's excited to add him as a veteran, that obviously he would contribute a lot to the team. But I think if the Rockets do add him to the team, they're going to sit down with him and say, like, you're coming off the bench. There's no way in hell.
I think also D'Antoni, when he was a coach with the Knicks, I think Carmelo Anthony was not a big fan of Mike
D'Antoni. No, and that's another interesting narrative. I mean, D'Antoni coached Carmelo in New York, and I wouldn't say that things ended up great between those two. Obviously, people mature and we all change throughout the time. But I don't know. I feel like coach-player relationships in the NBA hardly ever change. It's an interesting narrative.
If they really bring him to the Rockets, I feel like it's mainly because of CP3, because I think Chris Paul is...
Banana Boat buddies!
Yeah, but that's a big
mistake. Although he was not at the Banana Boat, now that I remember.
I think that's a big mistake, to be honest. And of course, every time we're talking before the players actually hit the court and start playing, we don't know if we're going to... You know, we might end up being wrong, and he might end up playing well.
I doubt it.
But you know, I think, for example, if the Rockets now still give him a no trade clause or allow him to add a no trade clause, that for me would be almost like if the San Antonio Spurs, when they brought Tracy McGrady back from China, they decided to give him like the biggest contract ever and a no trade clause as well. We all knew that Tracy McGrady was done at that time.
This no-trade clause means nothing at this point, really. It meant something when he was in New York, and that was the biggest reason why he couldn't be moved, basically.
But it still makes it harder to move him,
but
right?
Now that with Oklahoma, he still had the no-trade clause. I'm pretty sure he wanted out. Oklahoma didn't want him in the team. So they just sat down and said, like, all right, are you willing to waive your no-trade clause? Yeah, sure. All right. End of story. Like, it doesn't mean anything anymore just because Carmelo's trade value has gone downhill dramatically. So it doesn't mean anything, really. It's just an extra conversation that you're going to have.
They were lucky that he wanted out as well, because the Knicks were not that lucky. The Knicks had him for like maybe 2 or 3 years more than they actually wanted.
Yeah, but also it was when Carmelo was arguably at his prime. He was actually a good player when the Knicks were a little bit more relevant. Well, they're going to be more relevant now with Kristaps and that younger team that they're pulling together. But yeah, I got to say that when the reports that he wanted out, and he was considering to join the Rockets, the Heat, or the Lakers, I was like, okay,
I think his next move should be going to the big three.
I was terrified that he would actually join the Lakers just because LeBron and him are very good friends. And we're signing all sorts of players at this point. So I'm very, very glad that he's leaning towards Houston. Be my guest. Take him away. Go with CP3 and the beard and try to make something out of it.
I think his next contract negotiation should be with Ice Cube.
With the big three?
Yes. That's the right place for him right now.
I feel, on the other hand, I feel a little bit bad about him and Dwight Howard. I mean, these are two guys that were supposed to sort of take over the league along with LeBron and other players that whose career have actually panned out. You know, I can think of Dwayne Wade, who, yeah, he's in the last couple years of his career, but he had a great career, had some great years. He's sort of going out with pride as, you know, one of the greatest players for the Miami Heat. I don't think we want to remember his years with the Cavs or with the Bulls. But Carmelo, I don't know.
With Dwayne Wade, I think we also need to talk about his injuries and the fact that his style, when it comes to how he plays, makes him more like injury prone.
Yeah.
And I think that really affected his career as well. But with Carmelo Anthony, I mean, I am very disappointed, especially with what happened after he left the Nuggets. Dwight Howard, at least, he made it to the finals once with the Orlando Magic. And it was
and not... And who won those finals? Who won? Just say
cares,
it.
Say who cares? It.
The Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay.
You're welcome.
But nobody was expecting that Magic team to make it to the finals.
Yeah, that was a strange one.
So, I mean, he... Of course, he is also a disappointment, and he's also another case of a player that maybe it's not as passionate about basketball as he used to be, but at least he made it to the finals once.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that doesn't mean anything, really, but oh well. I don't have much to say about Carmelo,
that
honestly.
Does it mean anything, making to the finals? I mean, that's because...
Jameer Nelson also made it to the finals.
No, but making...
Rashard Lewis made it to the finals.
There's a lot of players that... You know, they get drafted to the NBA and they play for 15 years and they're not... Look at Chris Paul.
Yeah,
close to the finals has Chris Paul been so far?
But he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Dwight Howard? Maybe, actually. Actually, he might be a Hall of Famer. I don't consider him a Hall of Famer. Chris Paul, yeah, by far. I don't know if... It's definitely his reputation as a player. Same with Carmelo, same with Dwight. I have a feeling that they will end up at the Hall of Fame, but as players, I don't know. I feel like their impact could have been greater, and they chose not to.
But
like their biggest enemies were themselves.
Again, if we start talking about Hall of Fame, we're gonna go
no, that's
off track.
No,
because
I think
Robert Horry should go to the Hall of Fame because
Robert Horry?
Yeah, because he's a clear example of a clutch player. He's been to as many finals as I think Jordan and Kobe. And he's always the one hitting the
save
clutch
it.
Shots.
No, let's save it for another
rings?
Time.
How many rings?
Six?
With
seven?
The Rockets, two, right?
Yeah.
Two with the Rockets or one? I think two. Yeah. Then with the Lakers, four?
Three.
Yeah. And then with the San Antonio Spurs.
One or two.
So that guy
can remember
is
right
almost
now.
Like a good luck charm, you know? If you wanna get to the finals and end up collecting the rings and, you know, with the banner at the beginning of the next season, then you must have Robert Horry.
Well, not anymore. Not anymore.
Well, he could be part of the coaching team now. Coaching.
I'm pretty sure he's somewhere, but no. Let's save that conversation for some other time.
I would if I were a GM, I would just pay for his tickets
to go to the games.
Travel with us, please. Come with us.
All decisive games.
Yes.
You just have Robert Horry.
Yes.
And you give him the team's jersey.
Yes.
So he can wear it.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. I think you will be fired very quick. I would fire you as my GM. But anyways, let's move on to the topic of the week, arguably. The trade of Kawhi Leonard for DeMar DeRozan. I don't know how to feel about this. I feel like the Raptors are my second team, if I may say so, just out of the fact that we live in Canada. And obviously, most of the things that we talk about or that we see in the media here about basketball are related to the Raptors. And last week we talked about, you know, I talked about the fact that Kawhi would end up being a Raptor. You still have to pay that bet. I'm sorry.
Was I here last
week? You were here last week. I don't have any other co-hosts yet. So your job's still safe.
Okay.
Wait, I don't know if it's a job. I don't pay you. But I would never expect DeMar to be part of the trade. I honestly, I thought it was going to be a scenario where they give up Kyle Lowry, a couple of the younger players, Van Vliet, or OG Anunoby, or Pascal Siakam.
Jakob
Poeltl.
Right?
No, Pascal Siakam still with...
I think?
No.
Which one was...
Poeltl.
Oh,
Teenage Mutant Ninja Poeltl. Uh-huh. Yep. But I would never expect DeMar to be part of that trade negotiation. I was shocked, honestly.
No.
This is how it went down for me, let me tell you. This was Wednesday. I went to the YMCA in the morning like I usually do. I was there at 5:30. And by the time that I ended up taking a shower, I was ready to go to work. I had like 7 messages from people that know me and that they know that I love basketball saying, dude, it happened. DeMar is gone. Oh my God, Kawhi is now a Raptor. I'm like, what the hell? Like, it's 6:30 a.m. Pacific time. And then I started checking my phone frantically. I started tweeting and putting up stories and our post of the week on Instagram. It was crazy. I couldn't believe it. And the fact that DeMar
was
a Spur, you were still asleep. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was shocked, honestly. I'm still a little bit in disbelief that DeMar DeRozan is now part of the Spurs and that Kawhi, not that Kawhi is part of the Raptors, but DeMar is a Spur.
But I think part of the reason why they chose him instead of Lowry, and I agree with you, and you guys, if you downloaded episode 1 and episode 2, you know that I'm not the biggest Lowry fan.
No, really?
However, I forgot about something that happened during the playoffs. And this week I was watching, you know, different TV shows, people talking about the trade and so on. And they were talking about the fact that DeRozan, he disappeared during the games with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Sadly, he has that tendency, yeah. Yes. Throughout his career.
So you know, I think when you're trying to decide between your two quote-unquote all-star players, because they are, like, overrated, both of them.
Oh, God, no, you didn't say that. No. DeMar DeRozan is... No, I can't believe you said no.
DeMar DeRozan, no. I always thought always thought that he was underrated. DeMar DeRozan.
Okay.
But if he's gonna choke every time he plays an important game, then he's overrated.
No, he's not overrated. He's one of the most effective players in the game. He's one of the best two-way guards in the league.
Maybe he's one of the most effective players during the regular season.
He cannot do it alone. I mean, honestly, I was pumped for the Raptors these playoffs. I thought they were gonna make it, but you know, they always face LeBron, and at this point, it's psychological. I find it incredible that they were able to scrap out of the Wizards series, but the moment they saw the Cavs and LeBron walking out of that tunnel, they disappeared. And honestly, I mean, it's not like they were swept badly. There were at least 3 games they could have taken, and you know, they got unlucky on a few of those attempts. It wasn't necessarily DeRozan's fault. Valanciunas wasn't great.
But DeRozan didn't play according to his role. Like, the expectations for DeRozan were much higher when you're playing the most important games, 4 games of the season. And
I think
it was the second year in a row where they were a little bit disappointed with him on the way that, you know, like the way that he handled that situation against the Cavs. And if he's really psychologically damaged when it comes to playing against LeBron, then, I mean, as a GM, you need to make that trade because eventually you're going to have to play LeBron, right?
Okay. So not anymore.
to get to the finals. But maybe
the worst part is that now he's going to face him
again, a lot
more times because they're both on the same conference.
But
again,
that's now it's not the Raptors' problem anymore. Now it's Popovich's problem.
But okay, a couple of things. I don't think that in any scenario the Raptors would have swept the Cavs just because they had LeBron. And they were able to pull up. Obviously, they were able to beat any given team on the East. And obviously, they took down the number one seeded, the Raptors. I think there were times where other players in the Raptors, they should have come through, like Valanciunas, Kyle Lowry, Van Vliet. Oh, no, Van Vliet was hurt. OG had a great series, but I think it's on the team. It's not necessarily on just DeMar. It's obviously there were the team decided to go in a different direction the moment that they fired Dwayne Casey as a coach,
yeah.
And that's when I think Masai Ujiri, the GM, said like, you know what, I'm not necessarily going to blow it up, but.
I really respect
Masai Ujiri.
It doesn't look like I respect him because I don't know, his name.
Yeah.
But I do respect him. I'm sorry. But I respect the fact that he is not afraid of, you know, making that move. And it's the second time, because I think he was also the Nuggets GM when they traded Carmelo Anthony. So everyone talks about him and how brave he was to trade Carmelo Anthony at that time and start the rebuild.
Yeah.
And again, he's proving that he's not afraid of, you know, doing whatever he feels is going to make them better. But I'm not sure at this point, I'm not sure if this trade made them better or not. And I'm
I think it did.
And I'm also
sadly.
Not sure. I'm also not sure if because of all the hype that, you know, the media tried to create around the Raptors here in Canada, if the expectations, the fans had higher expectations than what the team could deliver.
No, I think the expectations were on par with how the team should have performed this year. If there was ever a year where the Raptors could have made it to the finals, it was last season. I don't know about next season because you got a healthier Celtics team. The Sixers are going to get better. Other than that, I don't. Maybe Milwaukee will finally get its shit to. Will finally get its ducks in a row. Does that mean I have to bleep myself now?
No, I hope not.
I hope not. We're between friends, right? But I think if there was ever a year, the Raptors should have made it to the finals. LeBron was tired. Celtics were injured. The Sixers was their first playoffs. Go ahead.
I need to stop you for a second here.
Why?
Because I knew that this moment would come when somebody would say something that it's not, you know, what you would expect us to say and it's not appropriate. But I never expected that would come from you. The first curse would come from you.
That's a, yeah, that's a milestone.
It was going to come from me.
That's a milestone.
I'm very proud.
Episode 3, our first curse word.
Yes.
Maybe I should incorporate that into the title of the episode.
I'm very proud, Rodrigo. Does that mean that now I don't need to control myself anymore?
No, you do, please.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise, we're going to get flagged as explicit.
Okay.
And I mean, that doesn't change a thing, but whatever. Milestone. We cursed for the first time. And we're just 3 episodes in.
No, it was not a we effort. It was you.
It's a we.
No.
We're a collective. We're a collective. Anyways, I feel bad for DeMar because he's the arguably the greatest Raptor ever. Unlike Vince Carter, who demanded to be traded. Chris Bosh, he didn't really demand it to be traded, but he also chose the way out. And DeMar, what makes it sad is that last time that he renewed his contract, he said, I am Toronto. And he embraced the city. He embraced the culture. He's going out as the leading in points, rebounds, and I don't know how many more categories. So it's sad that the Raptors cannot keep a superstar.
But you know, it's not a bad place to be where he's at right now, because he's going to be playing with arguably one of the greatest coaches to ever coach an NBA team.
But the problem is that Popovich is also on his way out. I think he's got 2 more seasons tops, and DeMar still he's got a long career ahead.
Wait, but the Spurs are like a very good organization, very respected organization.
I agree, but
I think they're going to try to put together another team that can compete. I don't think that they will be able to compete this season because there are too many amazing teams in the Western Conference. I don't think it will be possible for them to dream about getting to the finals. But I think the fact that no one is expecting them to get to the finals already makes DeRozan's life a little bit easier. Because with the Raptors, you know, the expectation was for the next season was going to be even higher because now LeBron is no longer there. And I think that if he happened to choke again this upcoming season with the Raptors, his reputation would be like very difficult to repair.
Because, I don't know.
I mean, LeBron is now gone. He's gone to the Western Conference. If you find another guy that's gonna become, you know, like the biggest challenge for you to overcome, and you choke every time you play against him, then, I mean, you're the problem.
But it's not like it was down to DeMar to perform. Like, yeah, he didn't have his greatest games, but at the same time, it was a team effort, honestly. Again, I don't think that it was DeMar that lost the series. It was the Raptors as a collective. They all choked. They all did. You had game three where LeBron hit that crazy buzzer beater at the end of the game. I mean, there's no way you can defend that. It's LeBron, honestly.
I have more respect to how the Pacers played against the Cavs than how the Raptors played against the Cavs.
It was just it was a bad matchup.
Oladipo proved to be more clutch than DeRozan.
Time will tell.
Yes.
Time will tell.
Lance is also another player that every time he needs to play against teammate. LeBron. Yeah.
Another teammate. Oh, man.
Every time he plays against LeBron, he might not be the most talented player.
Well, he's not.
Yeah. But when there's an important game, at least he's showing that there's a lot of passion there and he's trying hard. Completely different than Carmelo, for example.
So, again, I'm still sad that DeMar is out of Toronto. What I think is sad is that the Raptors have had three chances to have a superstar remain with the team for the rest of their careers. And all three times, regardless of the circumstances that surround those trades, all three have left, which is not necessarily great for team culture. All great teams, no matter how old they are, they build on legends, right? Even the Blazers that are a relatively young team.
Even the Blazers.
Because you guys only have one championship, right? Mm. But you guys had Clyde. You guys had Bill Walton. Even the Jail Blazers of the 90s. I mean, those are players that the entire city rallies around. And they become part of the city. They become part of the culture. And that's what other players, newer generations of players want to emulate or would like to emulate. The Lakers, you got a ton of them. Same thing with the Celtics. And I think it's very hard to create that culture in younger franchises. And the Raptors have had a chance to do that.
I agree. I agree with you. However, I think that DeRozan was there for 9 years, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not entirely sure. Let me check that.
And I think that DeRozan's case is different than the other two cases that you mentioned, Vince Carter and Chris Bosh. Because he's leaving behind a winning legacy. The Raptors became a winning team with DeMar DeRozan, and the Raptors became a team that people respect, and people actually talk about them before the season starts and talk about what they're expecting to do because of what has changed with DeRozan or during the DeRozan period. With Vince Carter, was about slam dunk contest.
But he put Tron on the map.
And highlights. Yes, it's true. I agree. But the team was still quite bad.
They made the playoffs.
Yeah, but no.
It was a younger team. I mean, young franchise.
Did you have an expectation for them to make it to the finals?
They went to the conference final. Yeah, to the conference finals against the Sixers. And then Allen Iverson beat them.
I mean, if we think the Eastern Conference sucks nowadays, during the 90s, the Eastern Conference was a joke.
Late 90s, early 2000s, yeah.
Jason Kidd made it to the finals with the Nets.
Twice.
Yes, with Keith Van Horn.
And Todd McCulloch.
Yes, and Richard Jefferson.
Young Richard Jefferson.
Yes. That makes you realize how old Richard Jefferson is. I hope you're not downloading our podcast.
I hope he is, and that maybe he wants to come for an interview.
Or maybe he wants to challenge me for a 101.
Yeah, I got my money on Richard Jefferson.
Me too.
I think this is a good thing for Toronto, though. I think, again, it was a hard thing to do, being the general manager. But if anything, I think expectations should be high or higher than last season. You got an arguably top five player when he's healthy joining the team. They didn't give up much, to be honest. I mean, other than DeMar. But Jakob Poeltl and a protected first-round pick. The team is barely touched. You still have some very solid pieces. Some really good younger players, and add Kawhi Leonard to that.
Yeah, I think that it's going to be interesting to see if Kawhi will decide to stay with the team after next season, because that's another thing that everyone has been talking about. He already mentioned openly that he would like to play for the Lakers, but
he said Los Angeles. No.
Yeah, yeah, one of the LA teams. But you know, the same happened to Paul George, and he decided to stay.
Yep. Yep.
But regardless of Kawhi staying or not, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of people that know what they're talking about, not like us.
Are you saying that we don't know what we're talking about?
We kind of know, but we don't get paid to talk about these things, right?
That is true.
Yes,
not yet.
Yes,
not yet.
People, they get paid to talk about these things, so I gotta assume that they know more than us.
We have to start tweeting Stephen A. Smith to download our podcast.
Yes. So a lot of people during the week were saying that regardless of what happens after next season, the move was actually quite good for the Raptors and the GM. Masai
Ujiri.
He was quite smart because if Kawhi stays, then he's adding a superstar to his team for another 3 or 4 seasons. If he decides to leave, then he's gonna have Kawhi's contract. He's not gonna have Kawhi's contract to worry about anymore, and he already got rid of DeRozan's contract, so he would have the cap space to be able to rebuild. And, you know, go after free agents, which is quite unlikely when you talk about Toronto, because it's not a city that a lot of the American superstars would like to live.
Which is weird. I'll get to that.
I think it's the weather and the taxes and the fact that you're making, like, your contract is in Canadian dollars, if I'm not mistaken.
No. They get paid in American. They just higher taxes.
Mm.
But we'll get there.
But I just have to go back 1 second, because you mentioned that DeRozan
is
arguably the best Raptor ever.
What I wanted to add to your point is that if the Kawhi experiment doesn't work, like, they don't have to wait until the end of the season. They could potentially trade him before February, before the trade deadline, and they could get something really good in return. Say, you know, if the Lakers are not doing fantastic with LeBron, they got a bunch of one-year contracts that the Raptors could absorb and use them for next year as well for cap space.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in the end, everything will be as imagined, but I think the Raptors did something very smart.
But some people were saying that Kawhi was so upset when the trade happened that he was considering sitting out for next season.
Which is stupid.
I mean, that's what I was going to say. If that happened, I don't know if it's true or not. We don't know what he's thinking about because he never talks.
I don't think he even knows what he's thinking about.
But if that's true, that would be the stupidest move ever. Because you already kind of building a reputation as a difficult person to deal with, and you know, maybe your ego is growing too much and you're starting to think that you're too important of a player.
Yeah.
And if you do that again, if you decide to sit out just because you're not traded to the team that you wanted, then you're proving Popovich's point. Like, he was right about trading you, and he was right about not being happy with you. I mean, you're a professional player. I understand that nowadays players think that they can decide their destiny, and that they can, you know, they can choose where they want to go. And that's the case with LeBron, but I think it's going to be very hard to see another player have the same power as LeBron. Well, and I think it wouldn't be right as well. They are professional players. They need to go where they want to, where they should go. And I know that sometimes it's not the ideal scenario. Sometimes you would like to be in LA. But think about the WNBA players, though. They are not making not even close to what you guys make, and they still have to move from one city to another if they get traded.
Yeah, I mean,
so stop complaining, stop whining.
I think it's great that players are empowered to now sort of make their own destiny, and we're seeing that a lot more. Like Kevin Durant to the Warriors, even Boogie now to the Warriors, LeBron to the Lakers, Dwayne Wade wanted to go to Chicago, and that happened. But in this instance, especially with Kawhi Leonard, he has to play. I mean, otherwise, I don't think that a lot of teams are going to be excited to get him or to trade for him. He has to prove himself again. No one has seen him taking a single shot ever since. I don't even know if he's recovered 100% from his injury. No one knows, really. So he has to suit up, get out and play. And other thing that is there to consider that I want to talk about is Toronto as a destination. I don't know why players don't want to go to Toronto. You mentioned the weather. But I think that I would argue that Chicago and Milwaukee have worse winters than Toronto.
Maybe they are not right about it. But it's just that narrative that was created around Toronto, because it's the only city that it's not in the U.S. and it's part of the NBA. And, you know, most of the players in the league are still American. And they have that idea of Canada being completely different from the US. It is different in many aspects, and I'm happy about it. I'm thankful that it's different.
Oh, we're going political.
Yeah, but there are other aspects that, I mean, I wish we didn't have taxes like it is in Oregon, for example.
Which is why a lot of players want to go and play in those cities that where the state has less tax or no tax at all.
I don't think the Trailblazers are doing a good job of using that as a selling point for the free agents. They should start talking about that more often.
But Toronto is one of the top 10 cities in the world. I mean, there are other cities in the U.S. and I'm gonna get in trouble, but like Detroit, I wouldn't be too excited to go play in Detroit, to be honest. The city's not doing great. I've heard that they're coming back. Good on you, Detroit. I'm not saying anything bad against the city, but I wouldn't be too excited. But Toronto, I love Toronto.
And also,
have you been there?
If you're a player that has photography as one of your hobbies, Detroit would be amazing because you have a lot of abandoned places to go take pictures of.
Detroit,
you could go to the Silver Dome.
We do love you, Detroit. Just the current political and economic state of your city is not the greatest. So we don't as Canadians, pretty much, we don't understand where the hatred for Toronto or Canada comes from. It's a fantastic city. If you've survived winter in Chicago, in New York, in Milwaukee, you're most likely going to survive winter in Toronto.
And again, you are an NBA player. You're not a homeless. You don't need to worry about the weather
that
much.
Why did you go there? You don't have to.
It's not like you're going to be freezing outside. You're probably going to be sitting at your mansion that it's like probably worth $50
million. Call DeMar and ask him what he did during the winter. I'm sure he's got a big list.
Yeah.
And part of that list might be hitting up the town with Drake.
In worst case scenario, you can always go to Tim Hortons or Second Cup. Get a cup of coffee.
Ah, so Canadian.
Yeah.
Get a double-double with your Timbits.
Second Cup is actually much bigger in Toronto than Tim Hortons. People like Second Cup better than Tim Hortons.
Thank you for the random fact.
But I want to go back because you mentioned that DeRozan was arguably the most important Raptor ever.
Yeah.
You clearly forgot about Rafer Austin.
Oh, my God. You have a man crush on Rafer Austin.
That's not true.
That is true.
That's not true.
Rafer Austin wasn't that big of a deal for the organization. He was a great player, I agree. I'm not questioning his accomplishments or his style. I'm just saying he shouldn't be part of that conversation. That conversation is honestly just Vince Carter, Chris Bosh, and DeMar DeRozan.
And Charles Oakley.
No. I mean, Hakeem Olajuwon was a Raptor for I don't know how long.
There's also another thing that you mentioned about teams keeping their stars for the whole career.
Yeah.
In order to, have those legendary players that create that atmosphere around the team and so on.
Yeah.
That's true. But also it's true that if it's not a winning team, then it doesn't make sense to keep that core, right? And the Raptors, they were doing quite well during the regular season, and they've been doing quite well during the regular season. But now people are starting to get greedy in Toronto, and they want more. They want more. And I don't think they would be able to achieve that without some tweaking. Otherwise, you have players like Antonio McDyess. He played for a long time with the Denver Nuggets. He could be considered a superstar with the Nuggets, but nobody remembers him because he never got even close to it.
Antonio McDyess was a role player. DeMar DeRozan was the face of the franchise.
Then let's talk about Sharif Abdul-Rahim then here in Vancouver.
He was not the face of the franchise.
But he was the superstar of the franchise.
No, the face of the franchise was Bryant Reeves.
No, Sharif Abdul-Rahim. Bryant Reeves was the one with the most hype for the first season because he was drafted as one of the... It was like a very important pick. Can remember right now, but Sharif Abdul-Rahim quickly
you're terrible with names. I can't wait until we actually get the opportunity to interview one of these players. Like, it doesn't have to be a legend, just anyone. WNBA, G League, Chinese Association.
To all the future mothers out there, can you please make sure you pick easier names?
Thank you. Yeah,
thank you. I really appreciate that.
Jesus,
and Antetokounmpo juice. That's another one.
It's not that hard. It's not that hard. So I'm checking. Bryant Reeves was drafted. You can keep going. Let me wrap up here.
He's just going through our archives here. We have a lot of files that we you're already keeping. We've been planning dropping dimes for more than 15 years, so we've been keeping all these files, and we haven't started this earlier. We haven't started the podcast earlier because we're just trying to make sure that we had enough paperwork, enough files to, you know, support our claims.
Exactly.
That's how serious about this we are.
Also, I just had a bunch of papers next to me and started just making noise with them. We have a laptop here next to us. But to your point of trading your franchise player, it's got to be, I mean, this is a very tough situation where it was almost superstar for superstar trade, which are very rare. Usually a team ends up trading half of the team for a superstar. And this is one of those few instances where it was almost player to player. So I do think the Raptors made the right call. I would actually think that the first call between the Raptors and the San Antonio Spurs didn't go like that. I don't think that, I mean, only Masai and Greg Popovich know probably, but I don't think that the Raptors offered DeMar DeRozan initially. They might have offered Kyle Lowry and a couple of the younger players. And then as trade negotiations advanced, then they offered DeMar, and that's when the Spurs said, all right, let's make this happen. Mm. So it's a tough call. I think it was a win-win for both teams. Obviously, the biggest risk relies on the Raptors now because we're not sure if Kawhi is going to be a Raptor in two seasons. But there's a lot of things. I mean, again, the city, having Drake on the team changes things. He might even offer jobs to Kawhi's cousin and his uncle, and I don't, just like other superstars have their part of their family working for the team where they're playing, This might happen with Kawhi, and who knows, he might find a home in Toronto. Although I heard a podcast the other day where I think it was from The Ringer, where it is claimed that Kawhi actually hates the feeling of being cold. And that's why he went to San Diego State, or one of the reasons why he chose to go to San Diego State and why he decided to be with the Spurs, because he actually hates being cold.
He's a big baby, apparently. Like, he's not Glenn Davis, but he's a big baby. Because, again, if you think that you're not being treated well, Kawhi, just think about your WNBA counterparts. They might end up having to pack their belongings every three seasons and move to another city. And they're doing that because of $100,000. And you're doing that because of $10 million. Is it that bad, really? Is it that big of a deal?
Damn. Yeah, when you put it into perspective, it's not that big of a deal. I don't know. I guess we'll see. My prediction is that the Raptors go into the conference finals this year against the Sixers or the Celtics. And then they lose to the Sixers over the Celtics. That's my extremely early and unsolicited prediction. Mm-hmm. And just for the record, Brian Reeves was pick number 6 in the 95 draft. So yeah, he was up there.
Yeah, and I was also going to say that if Kawhi decides not to stay with the Raptors after next season, and they're going to have all that cap space, they should try. I don't know who's going to be a free agent, but if they realize during the season that Kawhi is not staying, they should go on, rebuild mode 100%. And I think that if someone could try to bring or could manage to bring Donovan Mitchell to the Eastern Conference,
there's no way that's happening.
They would become an instant contender for the Eastern Conference.
There's no way that's happening.
Because the Eastern Conference is not as strong. He's a guy that could make a difference.
You couldn't even pull out that trade on 2K. No way. No way. The system would crash. Just like, no, there's no way it's happening. All right. I guess we'll see. You still have to pay that bet. And I'm going to keep on reminding you until you actually pay it.
But we never came up with what was actually the bet and what was it that I had to pay?
Suggestion that I really liked, but it involved getting a jersey, like Rudy Fernandez's jersey from when he was at the Blazers. I don't know where the hell we can get that. That was a really good suggestion, but I don't know. If there's anyone out there that has a spare Rudy Fernandez jersey.
Did we have time to make Rudy Fernandez jerseys?
I think so, yeah. No, he was a fan favorite for a while.
Okay.
Anyways, we'll talk about the bet later.
Because now we have to move.
No, actually, I'm going to leave Michael Beasley to the end.
Okay.
Because we should give some time to talk about the WNBA. Because history was made this week.
Hmm.
The record for most points scored during a game was broken this week. 53 points scored by Liz Cambage of the Dallas Wings.
I have a question. How many times did Kawhi score 53 points last season? He didn't, because he didn't play. So this lady here, she should clearly be making at least a little bit closer to what Kawhi is making.
It is crazy that she scored 53 points. I think the most I have ever scored in my life were 20. And not only that.
That was before we became friends, right?
Oh, shut up. I haven't seen you scoring more than 12. The crazy part is not only the 53 points, but the effectiveness of her entire stat line is crazy. So 17 out of 22 field goals.
Much better than Kobe.
4 of 5 three field goals. 10 rebounds and 5 blocks. I mean, that's insane.
I think Kobe never managed to, you know, be that effective with his field goal
percentage. I don't think anyone has been that effective in the past 20 years. 17 out of 22 and 4 out of 5 for a 3-point.
Kobe would be more like 17 out of 85.
That's... Keep taking shots. I don't care. That's absolutely insane. Liz Cambage is going to the All-Star game next week, July 28th. I guess she started celebrating early this week by scoring 53 points.
Are we sure she's going? She's going.
Yeah, she's going. Actually, I have here the team. So
they kicked someone out after she scored 53 points, right?
No. She was voted in.
Okay.
But maybe, yeah, if that was the case, I would have kicked someone out. I don't know if you know, Rafael, but the WNBA adopted the same system as the NBA for the All-Star game, where two captains were selected.
No.
So the two players with the most votes on each conference became the captains, and then everyone else that was voted an All-Star went into this pool, and there was a draft.
Nice.
So the two captains are Elena Deldon and Candace Parker. So Team Deldon has Sue Bird, obviously Elena, Brittany Griner, Deanna Taurasi, and Asia Wilson, among other All-Stars. But I have my money on Team Deldon. Team Parker has Liz Cambage, Chelsea Gray, Skylar Diggins-Smith, Maya Moore, Candace Parker, and Nika Owimike,
Sparks player. You're very good with names.
I am, yeah. That's why I'm going to introduce the players. I got my money on Team Deldon, just because it's full of living legends. Sue Bird, Deanna Taurasi, and Elena Deldon. It's crazy. I think it's going to be a no contest for Deldon.
Depends on how old the living legends are, because we could put together a team with Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, Dirk Nowitzki, and Manu Ginobili, and I'm pretty sure they would lose against any other team.
That's different.
Because they're too old now.
So the WNBA All-Star game is Saturday, July 28th. I'm going to actually do my best to watch it. I really want to watch this game. I think it's going to be even more entertaining than the NBA All-Star game. I think it's going to be a lot more physical. Like, these ladies are actually going to put up a show, unlike the guys, where it's been, honestly, lazy until the fourth quarter.
I have a question.
Yes.
So Liz Cambage,
yeah,
she plays for the Dallas Wings.
Correct.
Is that team anyhow connected to the Red Bull company?
No, not at all.
Because Dallas Wings, you know? Makes sense, because Red Bull gives you wings.
Oh my god. Why?
Red Bull, if you're looking for someone to sponsor, we are looking for sponsors.
Do you even drink Red Bull?
No, I don't. No. Okay, so if we had any chance of signing with Red Bull for sponsorship, because you asked me this question.
You could have lied.
No,
you could
have said yes. See, that goes to our listeners out there. You can trust us. I would never lie. See, a lot of money was on the line here, and I, you know, I was honest about it. I said, no, I don't drink Red Bull.
But we still want them to sponsor us.
Yeah, and if you pay me enough, I could start drinking Red Bull. That's fine.
I'm going to save my comments just because, you know, if that ever happens, then, you know, Red Bull gives you wings.
Yes.
Let's wrap it up very quick with the Lakers. This week he was announced. It hasn't been made official, but Michael Beasley.
So I'm just going to go back to my room. I'll let you finish, because this is clearly not relevant.
It is relevant.
You wanted to add something about the Lakers.
No, Michael Beasley committed to the Lakers. What I just want to say that the Lakers are going to be one of the most entertaining teams to follow throughout the season.
Because of the NBA drug policy?
No, also, yeah.
Okay.
But also because we got now a collection of such quirky players that it's going to be, even if you're not a Lakers fan, you're going to want to follow the Lakers just out of the drama and all the potential narratives that are going to come up during the season. Again, we're going to be a playoffs team. I'm not yet sure. I'm not going to be able to commit just now to make my prediction for the Lakers. That's going to come later episodes. But I think that Michael Beasley joining the Lakers and playing a game with LeBron, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. It's
crazy that we are talking about it. But we could say that Michael Beasley is a big bust because he was a number one draft.
Number two.
Who was number one that year?
Kevin Durant was number two, and who went first? You know who went first.
Greg Oden?
Yes, yeah. And who picked Greg Oden?
The Blazers.
Thank you.
Anyways, Michael Beasley is like childhood friends with Kevin Durant. I think they've known each other for a long time. But Michael Beasley is a case of a wasted career because he was a very talented player, and it seems like he never took his career seriously enough.
So Jabari Parker was drafted number one.
Oh my god, that's like...
And then OJ Mayo went number three.
Oh, that was a bad year.
Oh no, sorry, OJ Mayo was 2008. My bad. Jabari Parker was 2014. What am I doing here? I'm giving you all the wrong information.
So this is a computer, Rodrigo. Do you know how to use it?
I do know how to use it, thank you. Let's see. 2008 NBA draft. I apologize. So, okay, here we go. What the hell am I doing? So Derrick Rose, number one.
Okay.
Then Michael Beasley, then OJ Mayo, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Love, Gallinari, Eric Gordon, Joe Alexander, DJ Augustine, Brook Lopez.
So Eric Gordon has a more respectable NBA career than Michael Beasley, for example.
Eric Gordon?
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. None of these two would actually come up in any other conversations other than they signed up with another team. I wanted to talk about it just because it was... I think the Lakers are a very fun social experiment at this point. For our listeners out there, when Raphael... I asked Raphael before we started the show, do you have any questions on the agenda? He said, yeah. Why are we talking about the Lakers? And I gave him the same exact reason that I'm giving you guys. And then he said, oh, I want to add a topic. And I said, okay, sure, what's up? Nick Stauskas signed with the Blazers. Like, what is that? How is that any relevant?
Well, because if we're talking about Michael Beasley signing with the Lakers, then Nick Stauskas signing with the Blazers becomes relevant as well.
How is that relevant?
Well, because that's how...
Nick Stauskas at this point, sadly, he's only a trade piece. He's a good old Canadian boy.
What about Michael Beasley? What is Michael Beasley?
Michael Beasley has potential. He just has to be unlocked.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, he always had potential, but he never played for the right team. And now he's going to play for a good franchise.
I don't know if we're the right team. We were not the right team for Dwight. He couldn't keep up with our expectations. He was not ready to be a legend.
Clearly, so, Dwight was the problem.
Well, you tell me after he's gone being traded by so many teams. I think he is a problem.
But anyways, I mean, if we're going to start talking about these kind of guys when they sign a contract, then we're going to need to go to the NBA website and look at all the movement. You know,
nobody got time for that. No.
Shabazz Napier signed with some team this week as well.
Thank you for the update, Raphael. Yeah.
So he's no longer with the Blazers. If you guys were wondering, he's no longer with the Blazers.
People are going to think that we only talk about the Lakers and the Blazers here. Which is not necessarily false.
So who else we can talk about? I mean, there's a lot of other guys that are not relevant. Website. Yeah, there's a lot of other guys that are not relevant that have moved teams this week. But because they are not from the Blazers or the Lakers, we don't remember them.
That is true, sadly. Yeah.
Yes. So if you're an important player, we'll talk about you. If you're not that important of a player, but you play for the Blazers or the Lakers, we will still talk about you.
Yes. Yeah. So good on those guys. I think that's all the time we have for this week's podcast. It was a fantastic one. I just want to thank everyone again for downloading the show and for giving us a chance to be part of your journey, whether we're part of your commute to work or you actually give us the time to listen to the entire hour now that we've been on. We thank you very much. Again, we want to hear what you guys think. Feel free to drop us a line via email at rod rod@dropping-dimes.com. Don't send an email to Rafael.
I haven't checked my email yet.
I don't think he's ever logged in. If you want Rafael to hit you up, send us a message on Instagram. Leave us a comment. Send us a DM. Chances are that Rafael will check it, and then he'll let me know what he answered.
And if you want to really use my email, then make sure you CC Rodrigo. Then he will let me know that I got an email.
That's right. So his email is raf@dropping-dimes.com. But CC me just in case. Hit us up on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, online on our website, www.dropping-dimes.com.
And if you want to send us gifts, letters,
fan mail, rare jerseys,
food,
sneakers.
Food. We have Uber Eats here in Vancouver. I'll be glad to give you guys our address. And I'll let you know when we are recording. I'll let you know what time we record this and what day of the week. So you can send us some, like, I don't know, pizza or whatever. Like, just go to Uber Eats and choose something different. It will come as a surprise. That would be very nice, actually, because we wouldn't know what we're going to be eating.
That would be cute.
A little bit. But it's free food.
Okay. Anyways, thank you, everyone. We'll see you next week with yet another fantastic episode of Dropping Dimes Your 2 Cents in Coffee. Peace out.